Welcome, everybody, to Cycle Jerks Podcast, episode 117. Got myself, Mike Stewart, and my lovely and talented co-host, Dave Dalton, here today. How you doing, Dave?
Good. Good to see you. God, it's been like 24 hours.
I know. Yeah, it was good. We recently had Lori Lee Lone scheduled as a guest of Velo Girls and Savvy Bike, but she got vaccinated and she's not feeling good. And so we're going to have to reschedule her. But Dave and I just came off of doing something.
I'm excited.
You can't help yourself.
I know, but I'm excited to have this woman back, Lori. I mean, when she's on, you've got to listen to this. I mean, the California Age Ride, paracycling, the tandem, you know, getting three bronze medals in the Paralympics, mountain bike coaching. I mean, what a resume. Holy cow. And she's from my hometown. Well, she went to school in Syracuse. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Which has nothing to do with freaking cycling, but it's, yeah, so no, that's cool.
She's going to be a good guest, like all of our guests, Dave.
Yeah.
You sound surprised.
No.
But
anyway,
hopefully she feels better and we can get her back on the schedule. Yeah. And, but Dave and I did something that we haven't done yet before. And that was, we appeared in public at an event as the Cycle Jerks. And I think it went pretty good. The event was the Mount Diablo Challenge. Obviously, we had Mark and Raghu on for the bonus episode, and you know, leading up to the event, and then to go to the event and hang out and meet some of the participants and the organizers. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, it had been a while since it's been a long time since I've ridden it, but a long time since I've just gone over there. It was super exciting to see the participation. I guess they had 1,000. I think they had 1,000. That's up from a couple, you know, up double from when the last time I think I was there. You know, we always talk a lot about the vibe around a gravel event, you know, with the beer truck and food and all that. I think that they captured that a little bit, so you didn't have people just getting back to their cars and going and heading home. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to the Valley Spokesman Racing team for putting that on and for being such gracious hosts to us and helping us out, get out there. So it was great stuff.
Yeah, and they had, to your point, they had 838 finishers this year. So I know Mark was saying they're kind of capped at 1,000. They had 1,000 registrants, and some people that register can't make it, and then others don't finish for whatever reason. So
It's a long, big fucking hill. There's probably a pretty good reason why some people don't finish.
Yeah, no doubt. But it was cool because, you know, I got reunited with a bunch of people that I've known for a long time and haven't seen. And so that's always good. And met some new people in the vendor area. We were in the vendor area. We're kind of on the outskirts, but hey, yeah, we'll take it. And we were right next to a thing called Stretch Lab. This is not a paid endorsement, by the way, but Stretch Lab has a location in San Ramon, and the gal there, she gave me a free 10-minute stretch, and that was awesome. I'm definitely going to go check out their facility in person, and they do like a 50-minute, you do a 25-minute or a 50-minute, and the first 50-minute is $50. And they go through a whole bunch of different stretch protocols. And she did a thing with my hamstrings. My hamstrings haven't felt that loose. I can't even remember. So, I'm going to go give that a try. Pretty cool.
And they're legit. Like, if I was talking to the woman that was there, I'm sorry, don't remember her name, but like, she's, you know, certified sports medicine and lots of different disciplines. So these are just not people that are, you know, working part time in there. They've got cred and credentials, and so you'd quite literally be in good hands, I think, if you went there. And again, they're not paying us to say this. It was just I was just listening to Mike groan and moan as he got stretched, so it must
Yeah.
have had some effect.
And Dave doesn't do any stretching in his own life, and he refused to get on the table and let the gal work about. I don't understand at all. He's sucking
Explain
down
why.
Diet Cokes. He doesn't stretch. He drinks beer. I mean, what the hell? This guy calls himself a cyclist.
I'm a hot mess. I can't even bend and touch my toes.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I thought you were kidding.
No,
Oh my
no,
gosh.
no.
Okay. Yep. Well, yeah. Where do we go from?
But no, it's just there was a lot of good. I mean, the people from Save Mount Diablo were there, Hyper Threads,
Yep.
lots of just a good, well, strange one. But next to us was a woman. She actually makes quilts for veterans. It had nothing to do with cycling, but she's just out, like, a veteran that had boots on the ground and saw action, they'll make them a quilt. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just so
That's
lots
really
of
cool.
good
Yeah.
variety there.
Well, so yeah, and of course there's always somebody gets up the mountain fastest at the challenge. As Raghu pointed out, it's not necessarily a race, but then Mark corrected him. It is a race and a challenge. So you can go there to challenge yourself to see if you can what's your fastest time you can get up there. But then there are those that are racing. There were some really incredible times posted, near World Tour level times. Pretty wild. So I got the top three men and the top three women and their corresponding times.
Go
So
for it.
I'll rattle it off. We got J first, the fastest time on the day was Jafani Stefani. That's a great name.
Yeah, all
Holy
right.
smokes.
Yeah.
Straight out of San Francisco. Showed up and dropped a 44:49. So that's anytime you're in the 40s is a that's a it,
Yeah.
it's hard to even fathom. And
And
then
listen, I want to put these times in perspective too. Everyone that I've spoken to said, as calm as it was down at where we were at Monte Vista, it was a monster headwind when you got up there. And a couple commented too, but a couple years ago when we were up there, and it was like gale force winds that was blowing, and the people that were racing it will say that it cost them 3 to 5 minutes. And people yesterday were saying they think they got hurt by about 3 minutes. So take a couple minutes off of everybody's time just to put it in perspective. So,
No, there's no taking minutes off, Dave.
no,
That
I'm just
no.
saying, when you're saying 44 and 45, that's blazing fast, right?
Yeah.
Because,
But
yeah.
it, that year that I the last year I did it, it was super windy. And Ranger Carl was saying, "Oh, you could easily take 3 minutes off." I'm like, "Yeah, the time's the time."
Yeah.
It's always windy. There's always, and it's not always windy, but it seems like at the Diablo Challenge, it's always windy because of the time of year it is. All
Right.
right, back to the results. Quinn Felton out of Santa Cruz. Also not a bad name, but I mean, no one's, Jafani Stefani's got the best name. It's just straight up.
There you go.
All
All
right,
right.
so 44:55. So he was 6 seconds off the pace. So that must have been, and then third place was Nathan Martin out of Danville. And he was at 44:57. So you can imagine these three dudes coming in hot at the finish, and somebody had to win, but nobody beating Jafani Stefani.
Yeah.
All right, and then on the women's side, we had Kristen Vetterlein from Albany. She came in at 55:28. Very impressive time considering her age, and I'm not going to tell anyone what her age is, but her age makes that time very impressive. Eleanor Wiseman out of Oakland at 56:57, and Chloe Mavis at 57:56 came in third. She's out of Berkeley, and she rides for the Monarch team that is supported by Liv. So that's kind of cool.
And we had Helena on here, the founder of Monarch, who was one
Yeah.
of our guests. They had incredible representation. I saw a lot of those jerseys out
Yeah, I
there.
did too. The jerseys are cool. It's a good design and it really stands out. So they're easy to spot.
With a
But we
big
did not
Live
see Helena
logo.
yesterday. She might have
No.
been there, but we didn't see her.
I searched on her name, I didn't see her, so.
Oh, okay. Yep. But yeah, all in all, it was really good event. And
I want to bring up one thing. I'm just blown away by in t for two reasons. First of all, interestingly enough, we had Vanessa on last week, and we were talking about mountain biking and the uptick in youth mountain biking, but we didn't see the same thing necessarily in road.
right.
But when I started doing the search here of like under 10, 10 to 13, age categories 14 to 15, 16 to 17, there was a lot of kids there out there. And I'm going to submit that I know that there were some that were doing it because it was a family activity. Like somebody under 10, I think, did it in 2 hours. And I know a guy that was there just pacing his kid up the mountain.
Yep.
But there was, I think the 16, 17-year-old was close to like the low 50s. 14 and 15-year-old winner was 54 minutes. 10 to
Yep.
13, 57 minutes. So I'm going to submit that this was not just recreational riders. So it gave me
Yeah.
hope that, that there is maybe a resurgence in the, maybe it's not as big as the road, but there's maybe a resurgence in youth cycling, and the people that are doing it seem pretty hardcore. So it's kind of, I was stoked to see that.
Yeah, I've got one of my accounts in Modesto, World of Wheels. They have a employee, Joel Luna, and he's got a family of young racers that are they were both both two of his boys were there yesterday, and it's a cycling family, and they take it very serious. One of the sons just got second in districts, and I was talking to them about maybe having the whole crew on and
Yeah.
kind of talk about growing up racing bikes and what it takes to be, at that level. And but it's pretty
Yeah.
cool. He showed me their Zwift room. They got four tax trainers all lined up. They got monitors and they all get on there and just go to town. It's pretty cool. Yeah. But the kids don't really do climbs because
Modesto.
they're doing road races.
Yeah.
And there's not like they don't do climbing, but yeah. I think one of them came in but sub
Fourth.
55
Yeah. I
minutes. I mean,
think he had fourth. Yeah.
crazy
That's
fast.
awesome. Anyways,
Yeah.
it's just good to see the overall participation. It's good to see the mix of people that are just out there having fun, and then it's
Yeah.
just great to see the youth.
Yeah,
Oh, but
speaking of mix. The youngest rider on the day was 6 years old, and the oldest rider on the day was 87. So,
so
pretty
call
awesome.
out those times. There was a man and a woman, right? That were in their way up in their 80s, right?
Yes. I don't know what the times are.
Oh, we talked about it before. I
I added it
thought
one time. I didn't write it down. But yeah,
just over an hour now. I think it was just not much over an hour. So.
It's interesting. Like the youngest rider, and the oldest, or no, the I'm sorry, the youngest female was 12, and she did it like an hour 23, and the oldest male at 85 did it an hour 24. So it would have been, they could have potentially rode together,
Yeah.
and kept each other going. But
I think we got to track them down as a guest too, because
that'd be fun.
that's incredibly inspiring when you go and you see go to the senior games, or you go to some of these races and there's still people competing at that age. I think it's incredible. I can only hope.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that we love about cycling is it helps keep us young at heart and also in spirit and body, and hopefully
Yeah.
you can just keep on going
Yeah.
till you can't
So
go.
you gonna do it again, Mike? Are you ever gonna sign up and go for it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually considering doing it this year, just but the cycle jerks, I felt like it was more important to go there as a podcast, especially after having the guys on early on, they offered that to us. So,
but
I'll definitely do it again for sure.
You just think by next year, we'll have a big staff, right? We'll have producers and all that. So we can go ride and they can actually do all the grunt work.
That would be awesome. We could use an editor. If anybody wants to edit, hit me up. Well,
people getting us Diet Pepsis and stuff, and
I don't think fast forward to never.
That's a good thing, we love doing this, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, okay, so what else? We really didn't get a chance to talk at all about the Vuelta and some of the things going on there. I mean, it was an incredible few weeks there for American cycling, and it wasn't without drama. There was a bunch of, I mean, Jumbo Visma, Jesus, they're just a powerhouse team. They won all three of the major Grand Tours this year. And their roster's just ridiculous. And now they're talking about adding Quick Steps, so that's going to throw Remco in the mix and a bunch of other people. I mean, it's just insane. But it's not all rainbows and unicorns over there. And we kind of saw that come to light when Sepp Kuss, he established himself as the strongest rider of the Vuelta. And he wasn't being supported by his teammates for a couple. There were like, maybe they were saying that they were supporting him, but then they were behaving differently on the course. And not that you need to gift wrap a victory for somebody, but and that's not what happened, but there are team tactics involved with racing, and the team wasn't working in Sepp's best interest there for a few days, and they were taking some serious heat on social media.
I definitely will look at on the surface. What I want is the Vuelta unchained, and I want to see the discussions in the bus, right? Yeah. To see, because we don't, that's, again, we've talked about this, the problem with social media. People can make shit up and it becomes truth, right? I'd like to know, and it certainly appears that it was at some point they had to come to, they had this aha moment there where they said, oh, we better not fuck this up and we better let him win.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be the people in the tour bus. I'd love to hear what they were saying. And if they just, who knows? They just said, well, make sure we're second and third.
Yeah.
Right. And then we'll support you or something like that. I don't know. I don't think
Roglic or Vingegaard are thinking, just make us second and third. That's not how they think.
Yeah.
They're winners, and that's part of why they're so successful. But then
what was the aha moment, and why all of a sudden what stopped?
I think something happened. I don't know if it was the media backlash, or maybe the director sportif stepped in and just said, hey, listen, guys, And if anybody's worthy of support, I mean, geez, Sepp has he's a big part of their victories in the Tour and the Giro this year and previous years. The guy's the strongest climber on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. And he's just always right there at the critical moments to support the leaders. And it was just great to see him get his day. And, for me, it was kind of interesting because I've always had this really high opinion of Vingegaard, because he just seems like such a pro's pro and a great sportsman. And this was the first time where I was thinking, where I felt like he was taking a lot of heat during this this moment of uncertainty. And the social media comments, I mean, granted, anybody can comment on social media, so it could be anybody. But there were a lot of comments about Jonas and him being a baby and all this stuff. And it's like, the guy has just been complete class ever since he emerged on the scene, his relationship with Pagasha, his biggest rival, as you know, about as friendly and cordial as it could possibly be, considering, you know, they're going for the ultimate prize, and he's always giving respect to his teammates. And I just feel like he's a real class act. And but there was a stage where he just took off and didn't support the leader and kind of did his own thing. And yeah, so it's interesting to see it all the chips fall the way they did. And then ultimately they did come together and Sepp ended up winning it rightfully. And
spoiler alert for anyone who's not all caught up, but
it's a little old at this point. Yeah, not everybody waits 6 months to watch Unchained like you. But anyway, so yeah, very exciting. Sepp Kuss becomes the fourth American to win a Grand Tour. So he joins Lance Armstrong, Greg LeMond, and Chris Horner as the only Americans to ever win a Grand Tour. So that's okay. That's some great company, and we're all very happy and excited for Sepp. That's for sure.
Okay, so Sepp Kuss, card carrying member, always have been, right? I'm always pulling for the domestique more than the team leader.
Uh-huh.
And definitely, what the hell is that? What was that? A marshmallow?
Banana.
I think you want to talk about a class act. Like, you know, at no point, whether they were attacking him or whether they weren't supporting him, he never called it out. You saw his mother at the end talking to Vindigo and said, he owes so much to you, blah, 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 whatever he said. And just, I think, a super class act. So,
yeah. Did you see his comment about being a humble champion?
Oh, no. What did he say?
Yeah, it was really cool. He's like, you know, I'm so super proud to have won this. And he gave all credit to his team. And then he said, this is not going to change who I am. I want to be a humble champion, and I'm just going to get back to work. And
classy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, you know, but yeah.
You got the gist.
Yeah.
To that end, should he go on and go to a team and be a leader, or understand his role and continue to be a domestique and say, look, I had my day in the sun, another one will come. What do you do?
I think it's a good question. I think his humble nature might just lead him right back to domestique status. Or, you know, there's all, so I was just reading that Roglic is talking about breaking his contract and leaving the team.
Yeah.
So there might be an opportunity where maybe Sepp becomes the guy for the Vuelta, you know, kind of like they did with Roglic.
Yeah, I think that the, you know, unfortunately the pro peloton is maybe littered with super, you know, number two guys or three guys, the super domestiques that went and got lured away with a contract and never quite, you know, Mikel Landa, you know, I think this is going to be real controversial because I was a huge fan, but I think some of Richie Porte's best days when he was supporting Froome versus when he was off being the leader on his own. And I think those are just the two that come to mind. I just think that the true team leader is they're cut from a different cloth. I think that they really are. And I'm a huge fan of domestiques. I've said that, but I just think that it's a different mindset, it's probably a different level of athleticism. And I think he'd probably be better off just going back into that role. Look, he's obviously well-paid. I mean, I thought cyclists didn't make much money. They were talking about his three homes that he has.
So, right, yeah.
You know,
he's not struggling, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, be happy with the role and to keep doing what you're doing and keep working hard. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, Roglic is talking about going to Ineos, or he's not talking about it, but people are speculating that he's going to end up on Ineos. And, you know, that, I mean, it's hard. I can't imagine leaving a super team like Jumbo, like on your own, like because it's your idea, you're going to leave Jumbo Visma.
Yeah.
I mean, so it'll be interesting to see how he, how his career goes if he does leave the team. You know, he's had some really, he crashes a lot, you know. I always felt like he couldn't really keep it together as talented as he was. And, you know, he was wasn't he a ski jumper or something in his previous life?
That. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with the crashing.
Yeah, he knows all about it. He's good at it.
But maybe it, you know, just involves him not being a hard cyclist, you know, all of his life. Maybe he was a ski racer or whatever. I don't know. But so that shakeup, I really hope this Quickstep Visma merger doesn't happen.
No, I know. Because there's going to be too many people, I think, that suffer from that or find themselves without homes. Because there's just so much talent on both those.
Well, they'll relocate, you know. But it's, yeah. I think it's better when there's two, you know, like
two powerhouses.
Yeah, Remco's got he's got a good squad over there, and you know, it was really interesting how he just popped that one day. He had one bad day.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. On any Sunday, right?
Yeah, but then the next day he looked fantastic. He looked like Remco again.
Yeah.
The rest of the whole tour he did. But anyway.
it does speak though to the depth of the team that's required, because if you go right down the list of that Jumbo team, like, so much attention is given to Vindigo, Roglic, and Sepp Kuss. But like, if you look at some of those, you know, again, I'm sitting here working at my desk, and I've got the 5 hours of this Vuelta on, watching everything. And you sit there and you go, and okay, that's Robert Hessink on the front.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half later, I come back, I look up, I go, he's still on the front. Yeah. You know? So it's the depth of that team. Yeah. And what it's just incredible.
It's funny, you just rattled off four absolute legends, and you didn't even mention Wout.
Yeah.
He's also on the team, you know?
He's also on the team.
Maybe the best all around rider there is.
Laporte. I mean, it just keeps going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're incredible. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Roglic. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah. That's why we watch these guys. You know, the diva element of it is definitely a big part of being a leader, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially the Movistar really kind of brought that to light when we started watching those Movistar Netflix specials.
Movistar, and then we did Unchained. Now there's another one of I'm drawing a blank on the name, but they basically follow the EF Pro team into the slipstream, is it called?
I don't know.
You got to get on Peacock.
Sounds good to me. It's on Peacock.
I think it's into the slipstream or something. If I could talk and Google at the same time, I'd look it up right now.
Okay.
But it is really, it's one episode, and I'm trying to figure out what year it is. But like, you can say what you will about Jonathan Vaughters, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot on that, and a lot covering him. And what you don't realize is you talk about some of the French teams that have been around forever, Jumbo Visma, but this is the longest standing U.S. based pro cycling team, from Garmin to Cannondale to EF Pro. And I think that there's a couple of other big sponsors in there, but it's been around for, I think he said, like 15 years. And it's the longest running U.S. team. And so, number one, props for that. Number two, it was founded based on racing clean, right? Yeah. And that was his whole, because he was doping and realized that he had come at a point in his life where he said, like, what am I doing, right?
Yeah.
But what was cool, well, there's no doubt that there's talent on that team, right? But they just don't have that one super, like, they got Paulus and stuff, but that one superstar. But listening to Jonathan Vaughters on that thing, there's a couple of times in which he's like we've got 3 weeks, and if we don't find a sponsor, we're closing up doors. And he's like, the guy's crying on the t on the thing,
Yeah.
and you realize how fragile that whole ecosystem is, right? So we're sitting here going, oh, we hope, you know, the Quick Step and Jumbo Visma, you know, doesn't merge, but do they have a choice? You know, are they merging because they just want to be more powerful, or is it like we're going to lose a sponsor, we have no choice, right? It's a, because this, it was like literally we have maybe 3 weeks. If we don't get a victory, we won't get a sponsor, then we're going to be out of business,
Right.
right? It's
Yeah.
like,
But I
oh.
think the challenge for American teams is different than European teams.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm delusional, but it just, you know, the fact that they're the longest running team at 15 years and it's a, you know, a wing and a prayer kind of situation. You know, you just don't hear about stuff like that with the European teams. And I don't
Yeah.
think I mean, maybe it is financial insecurity with Quick Step, although I can't imagine that that would
No,
be.
I don't think so. But I mean, I did hear Jumbo Visma was walking away. I mean, that what, yeah,
Visma. I think Jumbo's still.
Jumbo or whatever. I heard that they, Visma. Yeah. I'd heard that they said that we've accomplished our goal and they were leaving. So.
Yeah, I mean that's the risk you run, I think, when you have a, although I don't know, you know, I was gonna say when you have a squad that deep and you're just dominating, you're just wrecking shop on everything.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's like, ah, maybe I should check out. Although you think you'd want to ride that train as long as you
For as
could if
long as you
you're,
can, but Sky did the same thing, right? Sky.
yeah, they
But
pull.
finishing up on that EF Pro, I just saw that they actually just signed Markel Beloki, Yashiva Beloki's son.
Okay.
So remember that infamous
Oh
crash with
yeah.
the, yeah, and that
Yeah.
guy was,
He was riding for Giant then.
oh, was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
So
was
he
the
was
crash that sent, was it Lance into the, oh no,
cyclocrossing
what?
it. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was the
Yeah,
one.
it was Lance. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. But they said his son has got all the markings of what his father had in terms of his time trialing and climbing, and so, you know, maybe they found her rising young star. So that was kind of cool.
I mean, I think they got Paulus is, I mean, he's a very formidable guy. I might be
Oh yeah.
just guilty of homerism here, but
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, he's still, I don't think he's reached his plateau, and
No, no.
so there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Vodders thing, I've been critical of him. I think it was in Unchained where he basically gave that speech to the team about, we got 3 weeks to do something here. We might be done.
Yeah.
That's just the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think as a writer, you just don't want to know those things. It's like just don't tell me about your business. Do your business. You
Yeah,
know,
it,
that shouldn't
that
be on
wasn't the
me.
motivational, yeah, that wasn't the motivational speech I would have given. But in an interview, when you're talking, like when in this front of the camera, it was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Right.
But he actually did comment though. He said, it's a real problem that he said, because a lot of our guys, like he said, Rigoberto Urán and a few others that have been with him forever, he said they're never looking further down the road, because he goes, Jonathan Vodders always pulls it off. You know, so they're never actually looking for their next move when they're
Right.
that close to demise. And these guys are like, ah, no, they just, and which is maybe good. So in their mind, they're like, but he's like, in their mind, they're not worrying about it. But he's
Yeah.
like, I kind of wish they would, you know, pay attention, because they say I always pull it off and it's a ton of pressure, but I'm, you know, there's going to come a day maybe when he doesn't pull it off,
But
right?
here they
So,
are, here we are, and they've got another sponsor, and that whole speech is like, what is a racer gonna get out of that speech that is
okay.
gonna help with any type of strategic thing? And you know, you want your racers to be sleeping well, getting rested. And if they're worried about, oh geez, you know, Josh is the team, what's
Yeah.
next year? Should I be putting my name out there? You know, should I be looking around? I don't know. I just, yeah, I thought that was very, very peculiar way to motivate
Yeah.
racers, but
Yeah.
Anyway,
So,
all
oh
right.
well.
Well, into the slipstream. We'll go. I got to check it out. I didn't even know about
Definitely
it.
check it
So,
out. I may have the name wrong. Slipstream is in there somewhere.
yep.
But it's definitely worth the hour or the 48 minutes that it is. It's a good snapshot of the season.
Cool.
And some newfound respect for some of these riders.
Yeah.
Rigoberto Urán is another one that I would have said probably was better as a domestique or leader for everyone else. And then you realize what this guy went through after one of his big crashes and how much he came back. And if this guy gets a top 10 in the Vuelta or something, it's like, shit, he earns it. I mean, they said
Yeah.
he's still fucked up from his crash that he had. So, props. So newfound respect for some of those riders.
Yeah. Yeah, well, before we get out of here, we should probably give our proper respect to Peter Sagan, who after an incredible professional career, calling it a career, and yeah, boy, we want to talk about somebody who changed the game. And in many ways, one of the most flamboyant riders to ever do it. And just the personality, just off the charts with this guy. The hair, the body, there's just like a lot of things going on with this guy that were just it was hard to take your eyes off of him. And the talent was just undeniable. And I don't think never one to miss a meal, say that. He did not have your typical cyclist body, but he still got it done. And yeah, he was an amazing, amazing talent. And I think an inspiration to a lot of people. We had Ben Frederick on that was talking about, it helped him, like Peter Sagan talking about how he takes care of his body and how he eats. So yeah, incredible career.
And a showman. I mean,
Yeah.
how many of these guys do other companies really want as their spokesman necessarily? And he's riding up onto the backs of cars and onto roofs to put the bike on the bike rack or pulling wheelies.
All right. I
So.
mean, it was like I said, he was really hard to keep your eyes off of him. But he was a cyclocross racer as a kid, and then got into mountain bike racing, and then man, how
Didn't
many?
he in one of the classics when Cancellara went down? Wasn't he right behind him and like bunny hopped him and kept going or something like that?
So just looking here, 121 victories in road racing. Pretty incredible. They called him Peter the Great, three-peat, Tourmanator, three-peat for the World Championships, 2015, 16, and 17. Guys, yeah, what a career.
I actually had the pleasure of riding with him one time,
No kidding.
sort of. This is before you saved my ass. Before I met you, Cannondale was courting me before I opened the bike shop, and I got invited. It was after the Tour of California, and we went to the team was going to do a post ride for special guests, and I got invited to go over there and ride with the team. We left out a sports basement
Awesome.
in the Presidio, and just did the short, easy paradise loop with him. And he was a clown then too. I mean, we were going up one climb and he kept going. He kept going up to this guy that was in front of him, and he kept tapping his back wheel with his front wheel, and the guy kept looking around like, what the hell's going on? And he must have done this three or four times.
Oh
But
boy.
yeah, he was a goof. He was fun to ride with, and he was a goof when they were doing the introductions and stuff. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's the thing
Kind
I
of
loved
cool.
about him and his career was that, cycling's so serious, everybody's very disciplined, and here you got this guy riding one-handed wheelies up a climb, with his tongue hanging out or whatever, But yeah, tremendous career, and he's going to be missed for sure. But okay.
So who do we got coming? So we can who are some of the guests coming up?
Oh, right. Yeah, next week we have Matt Fitzgerald, who wrote How Bad Do
How
You
bad
Want
do you
It?
want it?
Amongst
And about
others. He's got a bunch of
6,000. Yeah, but
bunch of other
yeah.
books. And that's gonna be a really, really good one, I think.
If you guys folks, if you haven't had a chance, just check out, it's just Google Matt Fitzgerald and all his books will come up, and I'd advise you to read some of them, but I've harped on it, but How Bad Do You Want It is amazing. And then we have a guy that coming up, which I'm excited about, is the attorney, the bike attorney, Kyle Smith. Because and I think that very much relates to our conversation with Alan Shield, which was of the Danville Police, which was very much our number one downloaded episode for reasons unknown, but that's good.
Well, I don't know. It
So,
wasn't the episode. It was the clip. The clip went viral.
oh.
The clip of him talking about, cyclists and on the road and the interactions with
Yeah.
cars. That went
Oh, okay.
viral. Yeah, that got kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the lawyer's going to be interesting.
We got some old timer mountain bikers coming too, right?
For sure. We got well, I mean, I don't know if we want to go all into it like that.
No, I'm just saying.
But yeah,
We're done.
pretty
I'm done.
excited. We've got some
Yeah.
legends of mountain biking coming on, and some of the forefathers. So that's going to be really interesting. Talk about the history of the mountain bike and their role in it. And
The train keeps her rolling. I think we just keep getting better, Mike. So it was good. I'm excited.
It's hard to think back when the mountain bike first kind of was established, but it was, it started out as a beach cruiser that they started putting some 10-speed parts on. I mean,
Yeah.
that's where it's began, and now here we are with these downhill bikes and cross-country bikes, trail bikes and duro bikes, dirt jumpers. I mean, the segment of mountain biking is wild, and it all
Yeah.
started as a modified beach cruiser. So,
Clunkers. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch the movie Clunkers.
that's a good one.
The names that are mentioned in there, Richie and Fisher and all these guys that were all at one point friends and trying to push the edge in their dungarees and no helmets. As
And
we go all padded up,
a
right?
lot of
So
questionable substances were involved too, I think,
Yeah.
to get that creative juices flowing. But yeah, so we've got some fun stuff like that coming up. So yeah, good stuff. All
Cool.
right, let's wrap it up.
Peace.
Want to thank everybody for supporting the podcast. If you're interested in taking it to another level, you can support us at cyclejerkspodcast.buzzsprout.com. Hit that subscribe button. If you like what we're doing, give us a 5-star review. That really helps us in the grand scheme of things. So we
Hey,
appreciate all the
yeah,
support.
and if there's something we're not that we do that you don't like, let us know that too, right? We're just two dudes in our rooms just babbling. But some people got some feedback yesterday at the challenge, and it mostly positive. But yeah, we want to know because we want to keep doing this and making you guys happy.
Yeah, you can hit us on Instagram, with some feedback or thoughts, ideas, any great stories out there that you feel like we should maybe connect with somebody. We'd appreciate it. You can also send us an email at cyclejerkspodcast2023@gmail, and we'll respond. We'll get back to you. So,
Right on.
all right, thanks everybody. Appreciate you,
All
and we'll
right.
see you next week.
Well,
Thanks,
take care
Dave.
of that cat, Mike.